Revelation chapter 20. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but we finished up our part of 19 last week, right? I think we finished up 19. Yeah. We had talked about the remnant slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. Yeah, we talked about that. Talked about that being a fulfillment of what he said was going to happen in that same chapter, verses 17 and 18. I remember that now. So here we are in chapter 20. And, oh boy, here we are, chapter 19. It's like we're switching gears here, because chapter 19, boy, it's all about judgment. And, boy, we're gonna head into judgment and getting over past the battle of Gog and Magog and on into eternity here for too long. Boy, we are going to be on into eternity for too long. Me and Brother Jim's talking about that, amen? And we're waiting for that to come up hither, right? Praise the Lord. But we had seen Jesus Christ coming back. We see the battle of Armageddon in 19, the beast and the false prophet cast into the lake of fire. And now it says in verse 1 of chapter number 20, and I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid on that, he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is called, or which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. You notice it said, he shall deceive the nations no more until. Because remember, he comes up out of there, we'll see in a little while, and he goes around and deceives the nation yet again. And it says, he must be loosed a little season. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. And the rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And when 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went upon the breadth of the earth, and compassed the camp of the saints about, and the beloved city. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them were cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And we'll stop there, and we'll study this part out, then we'll read 11 through 15. But here we are looking at the great white throne, or not great white throne, we're going to look at the 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ, and then we'll get into the great white throne judgment after that. But that remnant slain with the sword in verse 19 is the end of that battle of Armageddon. Remember here we talk about, you know, a lot of people, you hear them say, here we come up on World War III. World War III started. Russia and China, World War III, World War III, World War III. It's going to be, and I don't know about you, but I heard my whole life World War III is going to be it. You ever hear that? Well, we got a couple big wars coming up before it happens, and it's the end of the world, right? Because that's what everybody's always talking about, the end of the world. Well, we got two major wars coming up at least, amen. We got the Battle of Armageddon and the Battle of Gog and Magog. And you know, this craziness that's going on now has just been going on for years and years and years. Different times, different people, same devil, same craziness, same senseless violence and senseless acts that are going on around the world. But that battle of Armageddon ends in chapter 19, in verse 20, or verse 1 of chapter 20. We see Satan as the angel comes down, binds him, and casts him into a bottomless pit. Now that's not the lake of fire. All right, that's hell. Hell is a bottomless pit. So where's hell? It's in the center of the earth. How is it a bottomless pit? Well, I mean, you look at the thing, and there's a circle down there, and it's got fire in it, and there's no bottom to it. And because the earth's not flat, it's round, and there's a thing called gravity, and that old boys that are in there now are just floating around in that pit. There's no bottom to it. They're falling forever, floating around forever. They're not hitting the bottom. And we know hell and the bottomless, hell's the bottomless pit, and hell and the lake of fire are two different things, because at the end, death and hell are cast into the lake of fire. And remember from chapter 19, the beast and the false prophet are not cast into hell, they're cast into a lake of fire, right? And then later on, death and hell are cast into the lake of fire. And Satan right now, and what we're talking about in these verses, is cast into hell for 1,000 years, and he can't get out. He's going to be loosed. He's going to be let loose, and he's going to have his way with this world a little bit more, in his mind anyway. And if you notice, it says he must be loosed a little season. Why does he have to be loosed? Because his final resting place is not there yet. It's not here yet. He is going to be judged. The fulfillment of his ministry is going to be when he gets back out and he gets all these folks around the world together. And you think about it. The Lord Jesus Christ rules and reigns for 1,000 years. Remember what we said last week. It's not this peace, 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 love, love, love. He's going to rule and reign with a rod of iron. There are going to be a lot of folks here that don't like him reigning. But they will have to put up with it, or they won't eat. And they'll do it for their flesh. And then the devil's going to come back out. How's he going to deceive them? Oh, he's going to convince them that he can lead them into victory against Jesus Christ. And they're going to get together and they go, oh, that guy's bugged us. We're going to go get him. We're going to take him out. Almost like Calvary. We're going to take him out, right? Except it's going to end a lot different. Amen? You notice what it says if you read over here in chapter 20, verse 9. It says, and they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about, and the beloved city, you know, that's Jerusalem, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. That quick, it's over with. And then look what happens in verse 10. And the devil that deceived them was cast in the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are. Okay, so remember, there are some folks that believe in annihilation. They believe that hell's temporary, that it's a temporary judgment, that people are going to burn out and be done with. But it says the beast and the false prophet still are there after 1,000 years. But that's not the end of that. Look what happens. It says, where the beast and the false prophet are after that 1,000 years, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. So that takes care of that old annihilationism baloney. You know, hell is forever, and hell is going to be cast in a lake of fire forever. It's fire forever, where the worm, fire is never quenched, the worm dieth not. And that worm is the soul. It's the soul of man. Think about this. What happens to us? We get out of here, right? We're waiting for the rapture. We're not waiting for the Antichrist. We're not worried about taking the mark. We're not going to, you know, get your debit card out, look at the chip, and say, there it is, it's the mark of the beast. Well, hogwash. It says mark in their forehead, mark in their hand. And it's going to be the devil's mark. It's going to be happening in the tribulation time, and it's going to happen about halfway through that thing, that 70th week, which the Great Tribulation, remember, is only really the last 3.5 years of that. That's the Great Tribulation. We tend to call the whole 7 years tribulation, but it's Daniel's 70th week. But the last 3.5 years of that, remember that the devil, the Antichrist, makes a covenant with the Jews for a 7 year. He makes that covenant. And then 3.5 years into it, he breaks it, goes crazy on them. And in that 3.5 years, that last 3.5 years of that 70th week is the Great Tribulation. So what happens to us? We get called out of here before that happens, right? And what's going to happen to us? We're going to put on incorruptible. We're going to be conformed in the image of Christ, right? Now think about this for a second. I hope this helps you love your Bible more, but think about this. This is fun stuff. I enjoy this. Anytime God shows me anything out of that book, because I don't deserve it. I don't deserve anything. We don't deserve it. We deserve hell, and he just keeps dumping out good stuff on us. Amen? You know what it says? Where the fire's never quenched, and the worm dieth not. Okay, we know from the book of Luke that your body and your soul have a similar shape. Because the rich man is in hell, and he lifts up his eyes, and he's got eyes, and he wants somebody to touch the tip of his tongue with water because he's burning in torment, right? So when we get saved, we are destined to be conformed to the image of Christ. I'm predestinated that way, amen? We are elect, as according to foreknowledge, we are predestined to be conformed to the image of Christ. We weren't predestined to be saved. We made that choice. We don't get any credit for it. But if we took our will and said, Lord, we're a mess. We need you. We trust you. We don't only believe you, we receive what you've given us. See, the devils believe in turmoil. You've got to get this. You have to get this. You have to understand that this easy believism thing that's going on out there, the devil believes Jesus Christ walked this earth. He believes that he died for the world, that he'll never receive him as Savior. The devils believe and tremble. Believing is not salvation. Calling and asking for is salvation. That is salvation. I can give you this and say, here, Brother Steve, I'm going to give you these batteries. And you can believe these are batteries, and you can believe I gave them to you. But if you don't take them, you don't have them. Amen? Amen? Believing these are batteries don't get you any energy. And just believing that Jesus Christ existed and he died for sinners doesn't get you saved. There's a thing that happens called repentance. And repentance is where you make a decision, hey, I'm in trouble. And I'm going to call on him and ask him to forgive me and save me. That's salvation. The devil will never do that. But since you called on Jesus Christ, asking him to forgive you and save you, I hope everybody in here has. Praise God. You are destined, predestined to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. What does God call the devil in Genesis 3? The old serpent, right? What's he call him in Revelation? He calls him the devil, serpent, dragon, right? So the devil's people, where the worm dieth not. What's the worm look like? It looks like a snake. They're taking on the image of their God in fire forever. Isn't that something? They're not going to have arms and legs down there. They're going to be these snaky creatures, just like the devil. They're going to have the image of the devil for eternity. Isn't that something? It always got me, because I was the worm dieth not. I know the worm's a soul, but it didn't make a whole lot of sense. But in that lake of fire, those worms are the ones that have taken on that old serpent shape, and they're in there forever. And we just seen it. And it's not because I believe it. It's not because I don't believe what the Jehovah's Witnesses believe, because they don't believe, right? I don't believe what they believe because the Bible says something different. There is a hell. It is literal. It doesn't last for, 10 minutes or 10 years or 10,000 years. It lasts forever. So what happened to hell? Well, hell does get cast into a lake of fire, but it's in the lake of fire forever. And it says right here, forever and ever. I believe the book. And I don't need Hebrew and Greek to understand that sentence. It says forever and ever. And I'm 100% sure any manuscript you ever found anywhere that was real would say forever and ever. Amen. And even when they rewrite the books to try to pretend that hell isn't real, hell's still real. Amen. They can't write it away. They can't write it off. They can't erase their judgment. And they can't erase hell. They can't erase the lake of fire. It says, and I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, verse 11, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. All right. Now, if you go back to verse 5, it says, let's go ahead and start in 4 again. We have to put this together. For I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given to them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. All right. Those are tribulation saints. How do we know? Because it just says they were beheaded for the cause of Christ. They didn't take the mark. They didn't worship the beast. So it's obvious who they are. Okay? And it says, what does it say? They lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. You know what happened? He brought them back from the dead. Now this is important. There's a resurrection of the dead. That's what we looked at here later on in this passage. We talked about the rest of the dead. There's more than one resurrection. There's two general resurrections. And the two general resurrections, you'll find, I'm not going to run all these references, but I'll give you the references. The references are Acts chapter 10, verse 42, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, and 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 5. It talks about Jesus who will judge the quick and the dead. Okay, in Ephesians chapter 2, what's it say? Ye who were dead in your trespasses and sins hath he quickened. So who's the quick? Those that are alive in Christ. Okay, that would include these folks right here that come through the tribulation. How do I know that? Because it says they were beheaded for the cause of Christ. When you're beheaded, you die. You're dead. That's over. But it says they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. So those are the quick, part of the quick. And it says, but the rest of the dead lived not until the 1,000 years were finished. So those are dead people that don't live till after the 1,000-year reign, right? This is the first resurrection, not the ones that are dead that raise later after 1,000 years. He's talking about the ones that he raises up from the tribulation death. So that first resurrection has three parts. It's the first fruits, the gleanings, the church age, or the harvest, the church age, and the gleanings, the tribulation saints. Those three parts are the first resurrection. So that's hard to believe. It sounds like three separate resurrections. It sounds like it, but hang on to your hat here. Remember what he told Martha and Mary? I can't remember which one it was. Martha? He told Martha, he said, she said, I know my brother will rise again in the last day, at the resurrection of the last day. He said, I am the resurrection. So the people that are alive because of Jesus Christ, that's everybody that gets to heaven. Right? It's not always by grace through faith. Sometimes it's faith plus works. Sometimes it's works while they're looking at Jesus Christ. But it always has something to do with God's mercy and God's grace. Right? Always. There's always grace. Anybody makes it, it's always God's grace. Right? But it's not the same as the church age. By grace through faith, not of our works. It becomes works involved in the tribulation. There's works involved in the Old Testament. And it's, they didn't even faith. It's grace and works in the 1,000-year reign. Remember, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Well, faith in Jesus Christ, they're looking at Jesus Christ. Remember what he said? When he said, blessed is he that believeth and have not seen him? That's church age. That's why we get saved different than they did in the Old Testament, different than they do in tribulation, different than they do in the millennial reign. But that is the first resurrection. When them Old Testament folk, they're under the Old Testament law in tribulation time. It's mixed back in there. So I've called them Old Testament. They're not really Old Testament. So the tribulation saints, they get beheaded. They didn't take the mark of the beast. They didn't bow down to the beast. And he raises them from the dead. That's the last of the first resurrection. Then it says the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. That's the resurrection of the dead. Right? He judged the quick and the dead. Now I want to tell you that it gets a little bit confusing for me. I've heard people say so many different things about this. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. So I'm not going to tell you dogmatically what this means. I'm going to give you my idea what it means. But it says in verse 12, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. Obviously, the book of life, we understand that's where people have their name written for trusting Christ, for being saved, right? And we understand that. The books were opened. I believe one of the books is going to be a King James Bible. I believe that wholeheartedly because he's going to judge people according to this book. He said there's one that judge you, even the words that I speak. Sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. I believe he's going to judge us by this book. And how could he not? He tells us if a man loves me, he'll keep my words. And folks that reject him are going to stand there at the great white throne of judgment. They're going to give an excuse, and he's going to open that Bible, and he's going to say, here it was, give it to you in English. No excuse. And they're going to go, you're right. You are worthy of all glory, honor, and praise. Off into a lake of fire forever. As they worship him on their way out. Isn't that something? Every knee will bow, every tongue will confess. But here's where it gets a little strange for me, for my understanding of it. So I'm not 100% sure, and I've heard different opinions on this. I don't know. Maybe I'll know. Maybe y'all know. Maybe I'll know another time and be able to tell you more surely. But when he's judging people, I'm not 100% sure that he's not judging some thousand-year reign people, and some of the people might get in. I'm not sure that everybody at the Great White Throne Judgment is going into a lake of fire. I know it says if their name's not in the book of life, they're going into a lake of fire. But sometime there has to be a reckoning or something for the folks that come through the millennial reign. And I'm not 100% sure about that. I know that there are different raptures, different resurrections, different judgments. I'm not 100% sure about that, so I don't want to tell you something wrong. I'm just telling you my opinion is it looks like they could be being judged here at the Great White Throne of Judgment, and there may be people here that are in the Lamb's Book of Life. But the ones that aren't, it's obvious they're cast in a lake of fire forever. I don't know. There's a guy named Gene Kim on the Scott knows who I'm talking about. He's a really good Bible guy, and don't stay home and listen to him on Sundays, though. I mean. But he may give me some insight on that. I might check out and see what he says about that. I might, because it's good to, if he can show me from the Bible and I can get some surety about that, I'll bring it to you. But I'm not sure about that. I am sure about this. If they're not in that book, they go into flames forever and ever. And that's the second death. Now remember, he says in verse 5, but the rest of the dead live not again until the thousand years were finished. And then he says in verse 12, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And, you know, in death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. So there, it also said that death doesn't have any power. The second death has no power over those that are part of the first resurrection. So it's obvious these are two separate resurrections. There are people out there teaching there's one resurrection, going into one judgment. And there's not one judgment. If there was one judgment, we would be at the Great White Throne of Judgment being judged for our works. We're at the judgment seat of Christ. Now remember, the Lamb's wife has made herself ready. We go to the judgment seat of Christ before this ever gets here. How do I know that? Because we come back with him on white horses wearing white raiment. And we can't wear the white raiment until the judgment seat of Christ is over with. And then after that, we have the judgment of the dead, the Great White Throne of Judgment, and those not in the book of life are cast in the lake of fire forever. I was going something. There was something else I wanted to mention about that. Another thing, it says in verse 11, and I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. This is really interesting. Why would the heaven and earth flee away? What's Jesus Christ getting ready to do? He's going to judge sin once and for all. What's happened in heaven and earth? Sin. It's obvious when sin was on earth. Started in the garden, it's been ever since. Who sinned in heaven? Satan. There's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. After this judgment, there can't be an old heaven and an old earth. Matter of fact, the old heaven and the old earth, they flee away from his face because they can't stay in the face of holiness. He's so holy and so righteous and so pure and so right and good that the tainted, cursed things can't stay in his presence. So look what happens in verse 12. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open. There's going to be a bunch of people come up out of the grave. They're going to be standing in the middle of nowhere. I mean nothing. You talk about not having something to stand on. They're going to be right out in the middle of the universe with that throne sitting out there. They won't be on the earth and they won't be in heaven because the heaven and earth fled away. And his judgment happens right out there in the middle. They got nowhere to run, nowhere to hide, nothing to stand on. Could you imagine that? Just to be suspended out there like the moonwalk guys and having to answer to God Almighty for your sin and then cast into a lake of fire forever. Isn't that something? Why is death and hell cast into the lake of fire? Well, it's going to have to be because there's going to be a new earth. And the old earth has hell in the center of it. So the new home for hell will be the lake of fire. Remember what it says about the new earth? Or the old earth? Well, the first earth, by the way. So the first earth is passed away, he says. The elements melt with a fervent heat. I preached this before, and I like preaching, I like saying it, but it's not accurate. I apologize to you. Say, we're going to burn this place down to ashes. There ain't even going to be ashes left. You know what ashes are made of? Elements. Carbon and stuff. There's not even going to be ashes left. It says the elements will melt away with the fervent heat. So look, what man has done with atomic bombs, hydrogen bombs, all these nuclear weapons, they can't even begin to do what God's going to do. This place, there ain't going to be dead bodies laying around. There ain't going to be trees laying around. There ain't going to be dead. There ain't going to be puddles of sap that glows in the dark. There ain't going to be nothing going on. It's going to be completely gone. The elements are going to melt. Everything he spoke into existence has been tainted by man, and it's going to be completely out of existence. There won't be a remnant of it left. Anything that's tainted will be in a lake of fire. And here, look, I love my brothers in Christ. I love the Bible believers. I thank God for them. But there are so many different schools of thought. I'm going to hit it one more time. I probably should leave this thing alone, but I'm going to hit it one more time anyway. This gap in Genesis 1, between Genesis 1 and 1-2. If you believe there's a gap, praise God, Merry Christmas. If you don't believe there's a gap, Happy New Year. But they got some serious problems there. And here's different things different people believe. And I'm telling you this, so don't just believe one or the other. Because a lot of people that say there's a gap, they say this. Well, that gap could make up millions and billions of years to make the earth that old. Okay, that's hogwash. C.I. Schofield believed that. I can show you in his notes where he believed that. C.I. Schofield, one of the best Bible teachers that ever lived. He's got one of the best reference Bibles they ever made. God blessed him, give him all kinds of knowledge and light. He's wrong about that. This place is not billions of years old. And there's no, I'm unapologetically saying that. This place is about 6,000 years old. So, you say, well, how can they make it look like that, like it's billions of years old? Well, it took them thousands of years to make it look that way. Because they've been saying different things for years. I mean, if you look at it, y'all feel like you're aging fast. You get past like 40, you feel like you're aging fast. Ain't nobody aging like the earth's aging. I mean, good night, this thing was a few hundred thousand years old, what, 30, 40, 50 years ago? Now it's billions of years old. Man. And they're going to try to date the rapture. They can't even figure out how old the earth is, amen? But the thing is, the other folks will say, well, we believe the gap, but we don't believe that. We just think it might have been a couple thousand years. Okay. That makes some more sense. I'm not saying there is or there isn't. I might get to heaven, God say there's a gap there, and you're an idiot. And I go, well, I was an idiot anyway, Lord. You knew that. You know, no surprise. Might get there, and he might say, hey, man, all your friends, a lot of your friends were wrong. There really no gap there. I'm like, well, I won't have any pride then, because it'll all go at the feet of Jesus. And I go, well, praise the Lord. I'm glad we're all up here. Amen. So it really won't matter then. But then there's folks that say, well, there's three earths. A lot of that gap is contingent on there being three earths. An old earth, right, that was destroyed. The earth we're on now, and then an earth that comes later. That can't be. If you believe the Bible, that can't be, because it says the first heaven and the first earth were passed away after a thousand-year reign of Jesus Christ. That can't be. There can't be three earths. There can only be two earths. So the earth that was in the water and out of the water in Peter, in the book of Peter, has to be the same earth that was in flooded on Noah's day. It has to be. Is it that flood? I don't know if it's that flood or if it was in the creation when God was separating the waters from the waters. My brain's not good enough to figure that out. But it looks to me like it could be that. Now, I believe the destruction in 1 Peter, by the way, if I put this on the internet before Friday, we may not have anybody preaching here Friday, so I don't know if I'll do that. But, you know, it looks like that earth in the water and out of water is probably, could be the creation before he separated the heavens from the heavens with water and all that. But when it says the earth that was destroyed, I mean, that quite obviously could be Noah's flood. That's what it looks like. It's destroyed by water. You know, so, look, I'm not 100% dogmatic either way about it. I'm just telling you what it looks like. I am dogmatic about this. I'm 100% sure there's only one earth right now, and there always have been, and there can't be two and then one coming, because God would be lying about the first heaven and the first earth passing away, and God doesn't lie. Amen. Or there'd be a flaw in your Bible. And God doesn't do that either, amen? Only the devil does that kind of stuff. So, I probably shouldn't have went off on that tangent, but you guys are going to hear this, and the more that the devil goes and the more things get closer to the end times, you're going to start hearing this stuff. You go, well, maybe it is, you know? well, maybe the earth is billions of years old. Maybe the Pope was right. Maybe there is, you know, all this crazy stuff. But don't leave truth. I'm telling you, we've got a book, and if you read the book, most of this stuff can easily be explained. Two earths. The first earth that passes away, and a new earth that doesn't pass away. Two earths, according to this book. Amen? And it says the world that then was destroyed by water. Right? And the world was, remember, the world was destroyed in Noah's days, except for eight people. And eight's the number of new beginnings, right? And he told them to be fruitful and multiply. And there's where we started off there. So there definitely was a judgment there. And look, I don't want to part fellowship or friendship with anybody that believes the other. And I hope they don't do that with me. I'm not 100% sure either way. And like I said, say it again. If the Lord said you have to make a decision, I would go with there ain't no gap there. Amen? And I hope I was right. But I have not seen anything to convince me otherwise. But I'm not as smart as some of these guys. May not be as spiritual as some of these guys. Maybe they're right and I'm wrong. But I'm telling you, be careful believing this stuff. Because what the devil says is, he says, well, look, I can show you there's a gap there. And if you start believing that, then he can go, well, yeah, even the Pope said it. That makes sense. And there could be a billion years ago by there in that gap, because we don't know. And then the Baptist preachers are teaching that now. There could be a billion-year gap. And they're teaching that in the seminaries now. And the next thing you know, you're going, I don't know if I believe that Bible or not. And you're looking at me thinking, that ain't never going to happen. But I'm telling you, he's more subtle than any beast of the field. Be careful. Be careful. So the three earth things, we just killed that one. That's over with. Ain't three earths. Two. Old one, it's going to pass away in the future. And a new one, it won't pass away. So here we are at this, the sea giving up the dead, which we're in it, in verse 13. Isn't that amazing? 13. And death and hell deliver up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. Now, we don't get judged according to our works. We get judged. Our works get judged. We don't get judged according to our works, because we ourselves are saved, yet so as by fire. Our works are going to go through fire, and some are going to be lost, and some hopefully will be saved, so we can lay it back down at his feet. We're not judged for our works. Amen? And another thing, later on you're going to see that he gives them ability to take of the tree of life. We don't need the tree of life. Jesus Christ is our life. Amen? So that's a different dispensation, different folks. That's not us. And it says, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And we already dealt with that. Death and hell is cast into the lake of fire. Lake of fire lasts how long? Forever and ever. And we know that from verse number 10. We'll read that again. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and they had been for 1,000 years, and shall be day and night forever, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. So that's obvious. And I'm not trying to talk down to you. I'm just saying this because I've been through this Bible so many times, and God shows me so many things that I'm like, I can't believe I didn't see that. And I know you had to be the same way. And when you're reading Revelation, it's overwhelming. There's so much going on, and you're trying to put this here and put this there. And there, a lot of times we read the words and they don't process. So what we need to do is slow down and go through this verse by verse and try to process more of it. And processing more of it, we can see, wow, that lake of fire is forever and ever. And hell doesn't even pass away. It's cast into a lake of fire forever and ever. Because the earth passed away, and hell is in the center of the earth right now. It won't be. And, man, isn't it good to be saved? I'm so thankful that the Lord was merciful to me and long-suffering with me. Yeah, he is good. I'll tell you what. The reality of what we're reading and the freshness of reading it every once in a while will help you pray for people that are lost. Because we got people we're praying for every week that are going to burn in that lake of fire forever and ever if they don't trust Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And we've got family members and friends we're worried about, and neighbors and co-workers and people we walk by every day. And honestly, everybody in here could probably raise their hand and say, there are days, Pastor, I could put my every pocket full of tracts and wouldn't hand one of them out because I just don't have a good day. Amen? And if you're doing that, if you're trying to do the Lord's work, you're going to have days like that. Amen? I had a morning like that the other day. I mean, I wasn't trying to be disobedient. I was just being I was in a rebellious, disobedient, lazy mood. Honestly. I didn't want to go out and create any, commit any great sin or anything like that. I just didn't want to do anything. And I started thinking about Jeremiah. I'll never speak of you again. Oh, no, I thought, well, the Lord's like, yeah, you're an idiot, you know? And I'm like, yeah, good night, Lord. And then I go, I'll testify against myself so you guys can feel better. I'm at Aldi's, and I come out, take the cart back. Woman standing there at Aldi's, got her cart. She's got her little baby girl. And I'm going to tell you, the Lord knows how to work you over. She's got a little baby girl in the cart. She just put her quarter in, gets the cart out, puts the baby in there. And the Lord says, give her a track. And I'm like, oh. I said, here, let's tell you about Jesus Christ and how to get to heaven. I'm going to invite you to church. There's about that much enthusiasm. Honestly, I was tired. Please don't vote me out just for this. You got better reasons than this. Amen. But she takes it and she goes, oh, I go to church somewhere. And out of my mouth comes words that I have no idea where they come from. You ever do that? You ever wish you could go, huh, and put them back? I said something I don't believe any more than I believe that the lights are off right now. I don't know why. I guess God, let God be true and every man a liar. I said, well, it really doesn't matter what church you go to. It matters whether you trust Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. And the second part of that is true. But it does matter what church you go to. Me saying that is saying you might as well go to the community church, you might as well go to this church or that church or the other church. It don't matter. And that's not, you need to be in a Bible-believing church. Amen. But I didn't mean that. And I handed her a tract. And listen, this kid in the car is like 2 years old. I mean, this kid couldn't have formed a complete sentence to save her soul. She couldn't say anything, bye, 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 and get me out of here, amen? And her mom's holding that track, and I'm standing there like a fool, thinking I can't get those words back. And I hope I didn't tell her I pastored the church. I hope I just told her I went to church, amen? Amen? That woman's holding that track looking at me like I'm a moron, and I'm thinking, I agree with this woman, Lord. That baby took that track, jerked it out of her hands, and went like this and handed it back to me. With that much attitude. That baby worked me over. I thought, man, Lord, I just got whooped by a two-year-old. Amen? So I took that track back to the car. No, I didn't. I didn't take it. I was afraid to. The kid scared me. No, I didn't take it. That's right. I didn't take it. So the kid's holding this track like, you know, Hitler. Like, and I'm walking back to the car. And after that, the day was better. The Lord worked me over. He worked me over in the car for about 5 minutes. And was in Walmart later, and I talked to a veteran and talked to him about the Lord, and he said, yeah. He just said, tell me more. And the Spirit of God just started showing up again. Man, I don't know. I don't know about you, but I didn't like that Aldi's thing, but I needed it. And God's like, well, watch this. I'll take a two-year-old girl and work you over, big boy. Amen? He does that to us sometimes. Amen? And the devil's probably laughing and going, look at that, Lord, that guy's a real loser. And the Lord's like, yeah, everybody is. And if I don't show up and do something, they're all in trouble, amen? And then the Lord says, but I meant it for good. But I'm not kidding you, I've never been more surprised in my life. That little girl jerked that track out and handed it to me, or pointed at me like, and it was, that was something. But we need that every now and again. Amen? So if you ever see a woman in a car with a little two-year-old over there, don't do what I did unless you really need it. Amen? But that was something else. I almost didn't tell you all that, but I want you to know this is real. The battle's real. This ain't a game. And good night. The only people that think it's a game, people have never been in battle. Amen. People never do anything for the Lord. They just la, 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 la. They don't think anything of it. The devil never does anything to them. They never have any opposition. Their flesh never rises up against them because they're always going the same way the flesh is. Right? But when you try to do what God's called you to do and you try to be regular about it, you're going to suffer some opposition. And a lot of times it's you. Amen? It's his flesh. But the Lord's good. And he whom I loveth, I chasteneth. He said, and scourges every son. Thank God for the chastenings. I hope he doesn't use a two-year-old again. I don't think he needs to be honest with you. But we'll wrap that up on chapter 20 today, and Lord willing, we'll next Wednesday get into maybe 20, a little more into 20, maybe 21. But praise the Lord.